or testimony is how it got brought up. We talked about, I think you guys were here like 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, and we were talking about the power of testimony. And the power of testimony is just so tremendous. We got in on that with Zacchaeus, and we were asking ourselves in Luke 19, how did Zacchaeus know anything about Jesus? That even out of curiosity, he would try to see who he was. And it was because of somebody's testimony. We see throughout the Word, I was listening to Healing Bethel Healing Conference, and they were talking about the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And, you know, where did she get the idea that I could touch the hem of his garment and possibly be saved, I mean, be healed? And earlier in some scriptures, it said to the people, if they would just, you know, just touch the clothes of Jesus, that the power was there to bring healing into lives and all. And the power of testimony cannot be understated. The flip side of the power of testimony is what we want to talk about tonight. And that's the power of negative testimony, or as the Word says in this instance, they were slandering the land. Now, I'm really not going to spend time going back because we won't get to where we want to go. Going back and looking at this story, and it's the story of the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. They're about to go into the promised land. God has promised them, this is your land, this is your inheritance. And when they came here, they're looking at between 600,000 and 6 million Jews that came out of Egypt. And so they're coming into this place. They were a huge company, a mighty force. And God told Moses, he said, send spies in, spy out the land, see what it looks like, see if they're fortified cities, see what kind of fruit's there and all of that. So they picked one guy from each tribe, a leader from each tribe. There were 12 tribes. They went into the land. They spied it out 40 days. They came back. They brought the fruit of the land. We had a real good study last week on what they brought back, and it was what was ripe. And talking about our season, you know, you bring back what's ripe. You don't bring back something that possibly are mine or over here. You just kind of break off where you are. You know, your testimony is not necessarily about God did something 20 years ago. That's great, and we lob those things out there. But the real power is, this is where I'm at right now, because that's what's going to impact people, good, bad, or otherwise. You can be in a place, you know, where you say, man, I'm struggling in this area right now, but God's grace is amazing, and that's a powerful testimony, because everybody's not always doing great. I can sit up here when I'm doing great, and I can beat the I'm doing great drum, and that'll encourage you and challenge you, but you know what you can really connect to if you're struggling? When somebody gets up here and says, man, I'm having a hard time in this with my, you know, with whatever and all that, but God's grace is so amazing, and God's meeting every need. They relate to that, and they're like, man, that's awesome. Maybe that same grace will come into my life. So we talked about they brought in the fruit of the land of what was ripe at that time. We were just getting into the second part of it that I wanted to bring out. Was they came in and they brought this fruit in. They talked about how great the land was, but 10 of the 12 spies then began to spin all of this negative vibe about, well, there's giants there and there's fortified cities, and we can't take this land because they're bigger than us, they're stronger than us, and all of that. It said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, therefore they saw us as grasshoppers. And I really like that. I'll probably spin off and do an hour teaching just on that one statement. But they came in and they gave a real negative report about not the land, but about the possibility of them taking the land. What that did was that stirred unbelief in the people and fear in the people. And they said, we can't overcome this. God, you brought us. It was so bad that they started murmuring against Moses and God and saying, Moses, you brought us out of Egypt to die out here. I wish we'd have stayed in Egypt. That was what they were beginning to spout out. I was better off when I was in bondage, you know, which makes me want to punch them all in the throat because God brought them out by, you know, miracles and deliverance and all of that stuff. But so often I kind of get in the same little bellyaching pity party. Amen. I know none of y'all ever do. But what they did was they came in and they began spewing all of this stuff or giving this negative report, and it caused the people to fall into a state of fear and unbelief, and therefore they started murmuring against God. See how this thing builds on itself? You get this momentum, it's like the snowball going downhill. It starts out, they're afraid, and then they have unbelief. Then they start murmuring against God. See how it gets bigger? To start with, it's a simple thing of, well, there are giants in there. Oh, man, I don't know if we can take giants. Then they start doubting God's word that God said, this is the promise, this is in your inheritance and all of that stuff. So that starts building. And then it winds up in something where they're just flat out murmured against God. We have to be so careful while we look and we see our positive testimony is a very powerful thing. So is our negative testimony. Because what it can do and what it will do is it will discourage people. It will rob them of faith. It will rob them of hope. It will rob them of trust. It will allow fear to come into their life and eventually lead them to a place where they murmur against God. So this is what is happening in this, okay? Just because they came in and it said that they slandered the land. Now I want to lay a foundation right here. What is the whole premise on slandering the land when he made that statement? Let's read the scripture. Matt, can you turn? I'm going to have to look up there because I can't read my Bible. Okay, let's go to, actually we're in chapter 13. I'm sorry. No, we are in 14. I'm getting there, I promise, guys. I'm struggling with this.
Remember, when God sent the spies out, he didn't do it so he would learn what was in the land. He knew what was there. He always gives us a choice to either build our faith or to walk in doubt.
Right.
God knew what was there. He wanted them to go see it for themselves so that they could either come back and say, we can do this with God's help, or as they, most of them turned out, they saw the negative instead of seeing the positive.
Right.
That's why we have to pray to see with God's eyes and his vision and not our own.
Exactly. And it's 14:37, Matt. I finally found it. 14:37. Here's the thing on this, guys. The whole, alright, we're NIV. These men responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. It says in King James, it said that they slandered, let's see, even those men that did bring up the evil report, verse 36 says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Okay, that's where I wanted to be right there. It said they caused the people to murmur against God by bringing up a slander upon the land. And it said that God killed those men with a plague. Those 10 men were killed with a plague. The rest of them were not allowed to go in the promised land, spent 40 years wandering. Eventually, they all died off in the wilderness. So, the whole foundation for slandering, the land, when they got back, were they speaking distruths? No. Everything they said was accurate in the natural. They said this is a land that's fruitful. This is a land that's productive. They said, however, it's full of giants. It's full of fortified cities. And so they were factual in that. But they were seeing it through their natural eyes and not seeing it through God's eyes. And the issue that God had with them is that you are seeing this from your viewpoint and God wants us to see everything from His viewpoint. We view people through our viewpoint. We view people through what's wrong with them, not what's right with them. It's easy to see what's wrong with people. But how about seeing them the way that God sees them? Right? And that was God's big issue with this, is you're not seeing it through my eyes. You're seeing it through the natural. Joshua and Caleb, they drank the Kool-Aid. Man, they were coming in and they're like, we can do this. You know why? Because God said we can do this. Not because I'm bigger and badder. I mean, Caleb, he didn't have a confidence problem at all. He was a mighty warrior. He didn't care if a giant was 8 inches taller than him. He said, we can do this. But their whole thing was the fact we can do this because God said we could. That is why it is so important for us to know the Word to see what God said. To listen to what He speaks to us because this is what He says about us. That's why it's crucial. One of the biggest things for our kids is to understand their identity in Christ according to the Lord, not according to them. According to the Lord. Gideon's a perfect example. What did the angel come to Gideon and say while he was threshing wheat in a wine press? Hail, thou mighty man of valor. And he's sitting there hiding from the Philistines. He's sitting around saying, man, who is this cat talking to? I know he's not talking to me. And God said, yeah, I'm talking to you. Because when I see you, I see a man of mighty valor. When I see you, I see a pearl of great price. When I see you, I see a treasure hidden in a field. So much so that I will go and sell everything I had to buy that field for the treasure that's contained within. We get hung up on the field. We get hung up on the rocks. We get hung up on the weeds. We get hung up on the junk. God sees the treasure, and that's His focal point. I love that. We've got to learn to tap into that. So, y'all understand the problem and the thing with slandering, right? Slandering is simply a thing, Keith, when you focus on the negative of Linda and you speak and you release and you verbalize the negative in Linda, you know what you're doing? You're slandering her. When you come in here and you nitpick the services, you know what you're doing? You're seeing it through your eyes and you're slandering something God said is blessed and mighty. Why do you think the Word says despise not the day of small beginnings? Because what we'll do is we'll come in and we'll see this as small and we will slander it by speaking negative to it, by our posture to it. It is not always the words that we say. So often it's our posture. You can slander something by your posture to it. I can tell when she is upset with me. She doesn't have to say a word. I can tell just by her posture toward me. I can tell if I kiss her goodnight and all I get is little pursed lips. Mama ain't happy. Right? I ain't saying she got to throw me down the floor, but I can tell. I mean, if it's just one of them little... Y'all, anybody relate? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? Me and Matt's on the same page. That's truth. We will posture ourselves. I see people that will posture themselves before God so that they can't receive anything from God. They'll come in and they'll just... When I was... I've told this story before, but it is so true. When I was in New Zealand several years ago, we were fly fishing, and all the... fly fishing down there, sight fishing. You walk up on the banks over the river and you look down. Phenomenal, brother. You'd love it. And you look down and you spot the fish and then you say, how can I put a stalk on this fish? How can I get the right presentation to this fish and all that? Well, we'd be out here and, I mean, we were seeing these stud fish, you know, mid 20s and all, just huge, huge brown trout. And we would come in and we'd put a stalk and I'd make a couple casts or Lloyd make a couple casts. And, you know, if you didn't catch it in a few casts, typically the fish would do something and the guide would be like, I'm still sitting here looking at the fish. He didn't swim off, but the guide said, he's stiffened, we won't catch him. Normally the fish will swim like this and he's looking for food to come downstream and all of that. But when they stiffen, they stop swimming like that and they just kind of. And once a fish stiffened, he would never take food. Because his posture changed where he said, something is not right about this situation, I'm not going to receive anything. And we will do that with our posture. It's not just our words, it's our posture. A lot of times you won't vocalize things, but your posture speaks volumes. Toward other people, toward God, and you know what you're doing? You're slandering them or God or what God is wanting to do by your posture, by your attitude. This thing's a lot deeper than just what you vocalize, okay? There's three areas that I want to talk about and I want us to look at on areas that we slander God or people or something that God's doing. The first area, let's look at the results of slander. Real quick, let's look at the results of slander. What happened to the people that slandered? Said they died of a plague. Now, is God going to strike you down? Not necessarily. But I know the story of a woman named Michal or Michal in the Old Testament. And she slandered her husband David. You know what happened? She was barren. From here on out. I personally think that God did not strike her womb barren. My personal opinion on this, brother, is that when she slandered David like that, David said, fine, we won't have intimacy anymore. And the reason that her womb was barren from here on out was because he never went in under her again. I personally don't think David ever had sex with Michal again. Because she slandered, and what it did was it cut off a place of intimacy. If you reject the things of God and the move of God and what God wants to do in your life, you know what God will do so often? It's fine, I'll go over here. Victory Fellowship, if you don't want it, there's a church down the street that maybe does. Cindy, if you don't want that mantle on your life, you know what? I'll find somebody that does want that mantle. Y'all all know who Catherine Coleman is? Catherine Coleman said the healing mantle that she walked in, the reason that she got that healing mantle, which was a bit unusual in her day, being a woman walking in that power and authority and notoriety and all that. But she said in her testimony, the reason I got this mantle is because it was rejected by two men. That God came and tried to put this mantle on two different men, and they didn't want it. They rejected it, so God came to me because I said yes. So we can come in, and we can, with our results, be cut off from God. I mean, with our slander, we can be cut off from God. So these guys died of a plague. The second thing that happened, you know what happened to all the rest of the children of Israel? They fell into a place of unbelief, and not only did they fall into a place of unbelief, but they fell into a place of murmuring. So the fact that they, as leaders, with their realm of influence, slandered God, you know what it did? It affected a multitude of people. Amen. Jeremy, when you slander God and slander what God's wanting to do, and you slander people, you know what it does? It causes your wife to fall into a place she doesn't need to fall into. We don't realize it, but it has a huge, huge, huge effect on our children. You know, one of the reasons that our children have no respect for authority anymore, I'm not saying our kids, I'm talking about in society. You know one huge reason that the children in our society have no respect for authority anymore? Because they've heard mom and dad slander every level of authority for their whole life. They've heard mom and daddy talk about how every teacher's wrong. Every coach is stupid. They get it on the rec fields. They get it on the travel ball fields. They get it in the school system. They get it in church. They hear mom and daddy talking about what's wrong with church and what's wrong with the preacher and this and this and the deacons and the worship leaders and all of this stuff. And they hear you slander, 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 slander because you're not seeing things through God's eyes. You say, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm telling it like this. You're telling the world according to you. You're not speaking the world according to God. And so you know what it does? You wonder why your children grow up in unbelief. You wonder why your kids don't want to get married. They'd rather shack up. Because all they do is hear you talk about how lousy your marriage is, or how bad your wife is, or how bad your husband is. Instead of, that woman is a gift from God to me. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. I am so blessed. I'm the most blessed man on the face of the planet because he brought her into my life. Marriage is amazing. And it's happened with my kids, but I want my kids not to be fearful of marriage, but want to say, man, I can't wait to get married when I find them. But we come in and we slander it. Not just with our words. You say, well, I don't, but by our posture. I'll cut my wife off emotionally. I'll cut my husband off emotionally or physically or any other way. And so you know what it does? It brings all this tension in the house. It brings everything. No wonder the kids today don't want to get married. They're like, the heck with this? I've seen my mom and daddy do all of this for all these years. No, thank you. Am I speaking truth tonight, somebody? Come on. You say, fake it till you make it. But I ain't saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying speak life into it. Pump life into it. Invest life into it. And let them see, let your children see that I'm pouring everything I got into this thing. Because I believe in this thing. I tell you one thing about me, guys. I know I'm not the greatest orator, and I know I'm not the smartest or the brightest crayon in the box. I understand and I get that, but I believe everything that comes out of this pulpit. I believe it to the core of my being. Every time we lay hands on somebody, every fiber ounce in me believes that not only does God have the ability to heal them, but God wants to heal them. They've never been, my kids have never been able to question the sincerity that I have toward her or the sincerity that I have toward God. Have I made mistakes along the way? Yes, sir, boatloads of them. But they've never been able to question my sincerity toward my relationship with Him or my relationship with her. Because those are two things that I have tried not to slander. I know my actions. I've slandered kingdom stuff. Indifference is a type of slander. Hello, let's get deeper on this. Indifference is a type of slander. Not recognizing her or him. Not recognizing the significance of him. The power and the relationship in him. That's slander too. Okay? So the results of this is not only does it affect me and cut me off in places and cause me to drop and die of a plague, if you will. One thing about a plague, usually a plague doesn't strike you suddenly. Usually a plague is a process. And I can't tell you the number of Christians that I've seen that have just dried up and died spiritually and in life and everything else. Because you know what the root of it is? We say, well, I think the root's this, this, this. No, that's the fruit. The root of it is they don't see things the way God sees things. And so the result is it brings death to you, it brings death to your children, and it brings death to the people around you. It brings death to the people around you. So when we slander, it's huge. When we slander, it's huge. All right, three areas. Let me hit these. I got some. I'll be jumping up on the chairs in a minute. Three areas. The first area that if we're not careful, we will slander is we will slander a place or a season. We'll slander a place or a season. We will slander. That's what the children of Israel did. They came in and they slandered the place because they said, this place, yes, it is this, this, and this, but it's too hard. It's unattainable. We can't do this. You're right. You can't do this. But the God that can flatten the walls of Jericho can do this. And they slandered a place. You say, how does that relate to me? You know what you'll do? You'll slander this place in life that you're in. You say, man, I hate this season of life that I'm in. I hate the chaos, and I hate this, and I hate this about it, and it's just, you know, it's coming in, and I've seen parents with young children despise the place that they were in, and you know what they're doing? They're slandering their children in the process. It's like, man, these little snotty-nosed kids, and all I'm doing is changing throw-up and diapers. And they're running me crazy and screaming and I'm not getting any sleep and all of that stuff. And heck no, I don't ever want to have another kid and all of that stuff. And you know what you're doing? You are slandering a place in life that you're in instead of enjoying it. Does poop come with it? Yeah, poop comes with it. But so does a wonderful baby smell. So does innocence. So does the glow of a first laugh or a chuckle or a smile. I like it when she starts, she's getting where she'll chuckle some, she'll flat out cackle at Sydney Hannah. But she'll chuckle some with Lori. She hadn't done it with me, but she'll smile at me now. You know what? In a couple years, that won't be a big deal to me. Okay? And we will come in and because of our negativity about a place or a season, we slander that place and we slander that season. And I've seen so many adults and they come through and they say, I just can't wait till my kid gets 5. I can't wait till my kid gets 7. I can't wait till I can get them on the ball field. I don't want them to grow up too fast because it happens like it. I'm not ready for them to get married and move out yet. Huh? I talk to people that I'm business associates with, and it's like they can't wait to get their kids out of the house because they're like, man, that's one less mouth to feed. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, boy, I got one more semester, and that's off. She's off my payroll, you know, and all of that stuff. And I'm like, that's true, but you know what happens then? Then she gets a job, and she moves to Michigan or California. And then what do you got? You see them twice a year. Yeah, you save money and you can go buy you whatever you want to go buy. But now all of a sudden she's a... Don't slander the season. I hear people all the time and they talk about the wilderness. I'm in a wilderness and it's hard and hard. It's and I'm not saying this to you because you understand the value of the wilderness. Me and Linda's been talking about it. She says, man, I feel like I've been in the wilderness for a while. But she understands the value of the wilderness. But I see people and they come in and they talk about the wilderness and how that's a place of loneliness and it's a place of separation and it's an awful place and it's a place where it's just God is like he's banished me over here and the devil's having a heyday and all of that stuff. But you know what? The wilderness can be the most powerful season in your life unless you slander it. This 10 months that you guys are in at the Blake House, or 20 months if you do a second tour of duty. Is it okay if I call it a tour of duty? Sometimes it is. These 10 months or these 20 months that you guys are doing, you can come in and you can approach this and say, this is the most awesome opportunity for me. This can change the history of my life. Or you can come in and you can say, man, this stinks. I hate being here. I hate the rules. They don't even let me dip Copenhagen. I can't get on the computer. I can't call anybody. This is doggone purgatory right here. You know what you're doing? You're slandering this season in your life instead of letting this season in your life be the most powerful and project you into success when you leave. You're going to have 10 months of getting good word. You'll get good word here. You'll get good word at LifeGate. You're going to get good word at the Blake House. When those guys, when you go through inner healing, I know inner healing stinks. I know it. God's gutting you like a fish when you go through inner healing. But you know what? You come out whole on the other side. Or you can go through the program and you can be stiff and you can bow up and you can say, man, that, be like that brown trout I was talking about a while ago. And you know what will happen? 2 years from now, you'll probably be back on that same addiction that you were in before you came into the Blake House. I'm just speaking truth, guys. Or you can come in and you can say, God, here I am. I take this season and I consecrate this season and I set this 10 months aside. And I understand that it looks like my life's on hold, but my life's not on hold. This is a preparatory. This is a season of healing and wholeness and deliverance and empowering and dreams and visions. And all of these life-changing things are going to happen into my life these 10 months. And you know what will happen? It'll happen. Or you can say, this stinks. And you'll be counting the days till you get out, and you'll be trying to figure out how you can get out and go find you a hookup somewhere. I hope they let me go on a road trip somewhere. I know a place in Atlanta. I can go buy some drugs. Huh? Come on. See, it's if you slander the season or the place that you're in, or do you look at it and say, this is the potential to be awesome. Potential to be awesome. I can't tell you the number of times in my life where I've said, God, why in the world did you plant me in Bremen, Georgia? You know why God planted me in Bremen, Georgia? Because there was a little old girl that grew up on in Draketown. And if God had planted me in Italy, you know what? He wouldn't have. There was a company tried to, when I was very, very small, like 1 or 2 years, there was a company tried to move my dad to Italy. Offered him double his salary at Lockheed. He was going to be over their corporate fleet. He said they carried him over and wined and dined him and carried him around Italy. Said they toured him around for 3 weeks and like, we're going to go here next and all that. And he's like, guys, yeah, look, I'm ready to go home. What's the deal? They said, we want you to be in charge of our corporate fleet. And we'll move you here to Milan, and we will double your salary with Lockheed. We will buy you a house and put you in a house and all of this stuff. That sounds pretty doggone good, doesn't it? In the natural. But he's like, I got a wife and 2 boys in Buckhannon, Georgia. I got a little, praise God, right, Grant? I got a little yellow house in Buck County. That little house that they had was sitting right across from the where the courthouse is now. You remember that little bitty yellow box house that sit there? That's where they were living at the time. And he said, that looks way better to me than Milan, Italy right now. He was a new Christian at the time, too. He said, I know where I found God, and I know where my family is. Amen? And that's why God planted me in Bremen, Georgia. I better not ever despise and slander the place that God planted me in. The small town. I'll make jokes about Welcome to Mayberry and stuff like that. I love the small townness of it. I love it. I love it. I have learned not to despise these things and therefore don't slander these things. Quit slandering the places that God puts you in. Quit slandering the seasons that God has you in. Because as long as you slander those things, you know what you're doing? You're skating through them until the next thing that you think is going to be better. And you know what will happen? You'll get to that next season that you think is going to be better, and you'll find it's got a different set of pressures. It's got a different set of problems. It's got a different set of issues. You'll say, boy, I just can't wait to get my kids out of the diaper stage. Well, welcome to the twos. And then you welcome to the early school years. And then you welcome to middle school when all the hormones are bouncing off the wall and going crazy. It's just a different picture. Different set of challenges. And then comes all the dating years. Y'all thought middle school was. Then it comes to college and you're like, oh my gosh, where are they going to wind up? You don't want your sons living in. Think about your happy place. Where would a happy place in the natural be? Southwest Montana. Think about it, brother. 400 acre ranch. We get side by side ranches. I mean, you raise cows. It'd be right over on the Bitterroot or the Bighorn or one of those amazing rivers out there. And we could shoot deer in the winter and catch fish in the spring and fall and all of that stuff. Unless our children and grandchildren are living in Bremen, Georgia. It did sound good, didn't it? Until you get to see your kids once a year. Until you get out there and you found out God wanted to plant me in Podunk, Mayberry. Because he had purpose for me there. Because he wanted to do a stirring there. Huh? Don't despise the place. Don't despise the season. Because when you do that, you will slander it, and you know what it'll do? It'll cause your kids to say, I want anything but this. I want anything but this. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just getting the heck out of here. Might be because you slandered it your whole life. Huh? Am I striking a nerve with anybody tonight? See, what you see as prison is... Well, I wish God... Man, I just wish there was a church like Free Chapel where I could go there instead of going to Victory Fellowship. Man, you know, we got 200 folks there on a good Sunday, and we ain't got all these programs, and, you know, we don't even have we ain't even got a doggone coffee house in the church. You know what this place will be to you if you allow it to be? Life. I know it's small. I know it's not fancy, but it's powerful. I got reminded of that something. Matt, you blessed my heart Sunday when we were talking down here after church. Matt got down here and he got to testifying. Just me and him, and then Lori came up and he got to testifying. He got testifying when he got saved in this little old small country church in the middle of Mayberry. Got talking about when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need to let him share that testimony one day. Got talking about driving to Douglasville. Couldn't even hardly get there. Because the Holy Ghost, you say, what does a baptism of the Holy Spirit look like? That's what it looked like. He said, I barely pulled into the driveway. I don't know if it's in-laws or family members or something over there. He said, I melted coming out of the thing. He said, his exact words, because it cracked me up. He said, I left a booger trail that long down the window of my car. He was crying while he was saying this. That's life. And he got that life because he found Jesus where he was supposed to be. And that was married to Gibbs. Melinda Gibbs. Isn't that your maiden name? What? Hughes. Yes, that's your cousin. Her cousin, Melinda Gibbs. Because he's married to Melinda Hughes. Living over here on Copper Mine Road. Amen? Instead of despising that. Beth, I know you hadn't ever thought this. Why in the world am I doing stuck in Bremen, Georgia? I never thought that, have you? Living on Windy Lake Road. I did get that right? Windy Lake Road. Been married to Brett House. Going to... Because you found life here. You found life here. And your children can find life here. They can find life here. And I'm not talking about just in this place. I'm talking about in this place. And we go around and everything looks better than here. Everything looks better than the season we're in. And we slander it. We slander it. We slander it. And you know what we're doing? We're releasing death. We're releasing death. We're releasing death. We're releasing a lack of faith. We're releasing a lack of hope. All right. Real quick. Second thing. What time is it, somebody? Please tell me I got 15 minutes. I got 18 minutes. We're going to nail this thing. All right. Second thing. If y'all want tonight, if you want to make a comment, just jump up and wave your arms, okay? The second thing that I want to talk about right here is, you know what else we will slander? We will slander a move of God in that place and in that season. We will slander a move of God. How many people slandered what God was doing at Brownsville? Because it didn't look like what they were used to. How many people slandered Toronto outpouring? Because it looked crazy. How many people slandered Azusa Street? That's the birthplace of the modern Pentecostal church. Awesome story about Azusa Street. 110th anniversary is coming up. Y'all be in prayer. There's Lou Engle, the call is, and Bethel are partnering together and other ministries too. They're partnering together. Lou Engle sold his house and rented Memorial Coliseum where the Trojans play. Cause he was so moved by God. And you know what he said God told him? He said, God been putting this and stirring on my heart for 3 years. He said, you know what God told him? He carried him to the scripture and he says, a man found a treasure hid in a field and he sold all that he had so that he could buy that treasure. And by faith, he went out there and he rented April 9th. Memorial College, they're going to be 110,000. Me and Lori are going. I'm buying my airplane. I'm serious. I'm buying my airplane tickets next week. We're going out there. We're flying out there. Look, 3 weeks ago, Lori came to me. She said, I want to go be a part of it. It's the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. They're expecting 110,000 people there. It's so significant to Bethel. They have canceled. They've got 500 kids in their school of ministry. They go on a mission trip every year, those 500 students. They canceled all of the mission trips this year. All of those kids are going to Southern California for the 2 weeks before the thing, and they are going to pound that city with outreach. That's their mission trip this year. They're going to pound it. You about to get jealous on this. They're having 3-hour worship. 3-hour worship service the Friday night before the Saturday. I'm going to be slap in the middle of that thing, foaming at the mouth. But people will slander that. They slandered Azusa. They slandered it. I could tell you the story and the history about Azusa Street. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. The pastor that started the thing, he was from Texas. And a lady from L.A. came out visiting family, went into the church and listened to him preach. He was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though he hadn't received it yet. She went back. She was so moved. She went back to her church and she said, I heard this preacher. It's a black preacher, a one-eyed black preacher. Went back and said, I heard this preacher. We need to have him out. They sent him an invitation. He went to L.A. He preached this after about 2 nights. They didn't want him to come back. They said, they actually padlocked the church, said, we're not having services tonight. But some of the people were so moved by what God was doing. You know what they did? They said, come into our home and we'll start having some services in our home. So he went to their home and started having services in their home. It blew up so big because of the manifestations and the crazy stuff that the Holy Spirit was doing. You know, when they finally got into the Azusa Street Mission, which was just a two-story rundown building and all of that stuff. But they said that the crowds got so big at the home that they were having the house church in, they said the front porch collapsed because there were too many people on it. And they said, we've got to find another place. But these people, it was the birthplace of Pentecost in America. And the revival lasted for 16 years. And the cool thing about it was Seymour was a black man, and it was an equal mix of black people, white people, and Hispanic people. And the word that Lou Engle got was that God was going to do a special outpouring. And this was the event, and this was the time, and this was the place. And son, I'm pumped about it. I'm pumped about it. But you know what? People will slander that. People will slander that. I remember about 25 years ago when I was pastoring a Baptist church. We were having a Sunday night service. And we had one of the athletes from Harrison County came out. And he visited, and he knew some of the kids that were in our youth group. We had a pretty good-sized youth group. And he came out. And it was one of those where it was just thick. And I could tell God was all over him. But he didn't move at the end of the service. And I told Lori, I said, man, God was all over so-and-so tonight. Man, I said, God, I mean, it was just like so tangible and all of this stuff. Well, just so happened, you know, when them coincidental things. We wound up at the same place after church. So I got out there in the car with this young man, and I led him to the Lord in the car. Tears just streaming down his face. I mean, one of them booger trail deals, Matt. The boy was wrecked. He had been wrecked the whole 2 hours. I used to preach a long time back then. Y'all ain't seen me when I preached a long time. Wrecked the whole time. Didn't move, but God gave him a second chance. Got saved sitting in the front seat of the car. Tears just streaming down his face. Went to school the next day, told one of his coaches what had happened. You know what the coach did? Throwing water on it. He said, that's good, but them folks, they crazy. I was Baptist at the time. They said I was crazy. They said, they way too serious about this Jesus stuff. It's okay to go to church. That's good. It's all right not to be out doing all the junk. That's good. But you ain't got to be as serious about this Jesus stuff as they are. You know what he was doing? He was slandering a move of God in that one young man's life. When you discourage what God is doing in somebody else, you're slandering a move of God. It doesn't have to be a big move like Brownsville. It can be just what God is doing in their life. Kinsley just got baptized in the Holy Ghost, didn't she? On Wednesday night. Encourage that. Even if you don't, I still don't understand all of it, brother. I still don't understand all of it. But the power of God moving in somebody's life can do just amazing, just life-shattering things that just sets things in motion for years and years and years to come. Encourage it. Even if you don't understand it. Encourage it. Help strengthen it. Pray over it. All of these things. Don't slander it, okay? Don't slander it. I don't know what God's doing in your son right now, but God's doing some big stuff in your son right now. I was talking with your husband about it afterwards. After church Sunday. When I was down in worship, I just had a visual picture of Matthew. And I don't know what all God's doing, but God is stirring and doing, and do not slander it, even by your posture. You don't have to say anything. It can be your posture or your indifference. Or your indifference. See, that's the thing. You can come in and say, well, I just ain't gonna say nothing about it. Your indifference is slandering it. Hello, come on. I remember when I got called to preach, and I was so pumped about this, man. I went and told my mom and dad, and they're like, this is awesome. We're proud of you, son. This is great. I went and told her parents, you know what the first words that came out of my mother-in-law's mouth was? Oh, no. First words came out of her mouth. Oh, no. You know what she was doing? She was slandering the move of God. You see God moving in somebody's life? Don't you dare slander it by your words, by your actions, by your lack of words, by your lack of actions, by your indifference, by your posture. Don't you dare do it. Don't you dare do it. God's doing something in him right now, Annie. I know he's not perfect. I know he's still flesh, and I know he still can probably have a lousy attitude and do stupid stuff. He's a man, and he's a thick-headed man, because we all are, okay? But the Word says God made us in his image, so there's got to be something about God that can be a strong-willed and stubborn, and I'm glad he was stubborn and didn't give up on me. Amen? But what I'm saying in this, don't look at him necessarily through the eyes of Annie. Look at him through the eyes of God. See him the way God sees him. And when you see him the way God sees him, you're not slandering a move of God. You're feeding fire to a move of God. And you know what it'll do? Not only will it heal him and restore him and heal y'all and restore y'all, but it'll raise up warrior kids that love Jesus. That love the institution of church, that love the ideal of marriage. Come on now. Everybody. That's what you're doing. That's our options. We can slander or we can speak life. We can slander or we can speak life. You say, well, you know, the old thing, well, my mom always told me if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Just say what God says. Say, I ain't got nothing good to say about it. God's got something good to say about it. Then just start speaking what God says about it. You say, well, that ain't the way I feel right now. Well, that's the way God feels. You start declaring what, and you know what will happen? His ways will become your ways. His will become your. Jesus got so in line with the Father, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I say what. I only say what I hear my Father say. And when you can get in line like that, when you can get in line with it like that, you know what you're doing? Releasing life. You're releasing faith. What did these 10 spies do? They destroyed faith. They caused people to stumble in sin, right? Because of the negative, because of the slander. So the flip side of that is by not slandering, but by speaking life. You know what I'm doing? I'm building faith. I'm building hope. I'm causing people not to murmur against God, but to praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His great works. Praise God for who He is. That's the flip side of this thing, okay? All right? My third thing that I was going to talk about is we slander people. Because we see them as we see them instead of seeing them as God sees them. If you hang out with me long enough, you won't want to hang out with me because you'll be disappointed and you'll be disillusioned because you're like, man, I thought Sid was a preacher and he was, you know, him and Jesus, you know, right now with all the grandkids, not only do they think, you know, Gigi hung the moon, but she hung all the stars as well. That's good. I'm saying we look past what people, we quit looking at what people aren't and start looking at what they are. When your focus is on what she's not, then that releases slander. But when your focus is on what she is, then you know what that does? That brings life. And that builds. It builds. It builds. Y'all know the Proverbs, what a Proverbs 31 woman is? It's a long list. I've always said that my wife was a work in progress. Any woman I've ever known was a work in progress. But you know what you do with it? You invest and you build that thing to where it becomes. She's not a Proverbs 31 woman right now. Not in completion. But she is in process. It's easy. I mean, I'm not picking on anybody. Y'all can pick on me. It's easy to look and see what she's not. It's not hard for any of us, is it? But when we focus on what she is, when we focus on what she is, James, then it's, wow. Brent, what you got, brother?
And it could be any area or any area of struggle or hard season or pain. If you've been hurt, I was just sitting here thinking and praying. You know, sometimes you may have been hurt or the season has been so long and you've drifted from your walk with the Lord. You can't see the good anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's almost hard to call it out or speak it by faith if you're just too hurt or too numb. And if that's, and that might be somebody in here right now, whatever area. And in those cases, you might not be able to see your spouse or your boss or somebody that's hurt you as God sees them. But then, that, and I think in that vulnerable position, you need to turn and just look to God and say, this is hell, but God, you're bigger. I can't see any good in that, but I know you're bigger than any bad I do see. And if you draw close to God when you can't see any good, He'll restore that to you in time. I mean, you might not be able to reach in what you've got in your gut and
right.
see any good.
Right.
You turn to God and throw yourself to Him and ask Him to help you see it. If that makes any sense.
It does. And you know where you can find. You say, well, how can I see them the way God sees them?
Exactly.
This right here will show you how God sees them.
Right. But I have been so mad at people or frustrated or whatever in the past that God had laid it on my heart to fast and pray for them. And I would literally be fasting for them and have to repent and be honest with God about what was in my heart toward them before I could pray. Lord, you know what I'm feeling in my heart right now, but you laid this burden on me. Don't hold that against me. Help me. Help me. I kind of had to get clean before Him because there was so much in there. I mean, but I had to go to Him before I even felt like praying for whatever.
Here's what we'll do. Now listen to this. This has happened to me in within the past year. Okay? Real frustrated with a brother in Christ over a long season of time. And I was legitimately praying for that brother, but you know how I was praying for him? God move on them. God fix them. God stir in this and all of that stuff. And you know what God told me to do? God said, you're praying wrong. He said, change your posture. Everything you're saying may be factual, but change your posture. He said, what I want you to do is start praying life over them, speaking blessings of them. Don't pray, God, fix them. Pray blessings and life and abundance and goodness. Start praying that over them. And you know what it was? It was a shift in posture on the way that I prayed for that individual. Because me coming in and saying, well, I'm praying for them, but you're praying, God, you fix them. And God, you know they've got a bad attitude. And God, they've done me wrong. Move on their heart and all that stuff. You know what you're doing in that? Slander. Slander. Here's the thing, guys. Let's take it one step further and I'm done. Here's the thing. Oh, that thing of slandering the moving God. Be careful when you start slandering what God's doing in somebody else's life just because He isn't doing it in yours. Because God might be turning His world upside down. You say, wow, He just, you know what? You just heaping junk on yourself, man. You heaping stuff on yourself. Be careful, don't slander what God's doing in His life. Be careful, don't slander what God's doing in His life. Speak. Here's what I want to throw something real. This is big. This is a 600-pound grill I'm going to throw out in the room right here. You can slander somebody even though you don't vocalize it, and not even with your posture, but just with your thoughts. The scripture that we always come to, and we say that the Lord, what does the word say? It says, I know my what? Thoughts toward you. He didn't say, I know my words toward you. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. So God said, my thoughts are the origin of everything. Because I've thought that way towards you, because we'll be a good Christian and I won't talk bad about you. And I may not even have a bad, poor posture towards you and around you. I won't stiffen or anything like that, but my thoughts are not good towards you. You know what I'm doing? I'm slandering you with my thoughts. I'm slandering you with my thoughts. God said, I know my thoughts towards you. I know my thoughts towards you. It can never come in with a but added to it. I know Jeremy's anointed, and I know he loves the Lord, and I know he's a good husband, and he's a good dad, and all that stuff. But, and then we start our little list of things that we don't like about Jeremy. I don't like his long hair and his beard. He looks like he's, you know, Jeremiah Johnson, you know, or something like that. I mean, you know, come on. Is he trying to be John the Baptist or what? He's just too raw when he speaks and all of that. And we start coming in with but instead of, I know my thoughts towards you. Because I'm so in line with God that my thoughts, his thoughts have become my thoughts. And when his thoughts have become my thoughts, then I'm not even slandering you in my mind. And every aspect of me, I'm a triune being, every aspect of me, you know what it's doing? It's releasing life into you. And it's releasing life into your home. And it's releasing life into your generations. So that all will have the faith to come into the promised land. So all will have faith to come into the promised land. That's what this is about, guys. And it breaks down to that most basic, but the biggest element is, what are our thoughts? What are our thoughts toward the move of God? I didn't understand. Y'all stand your feet. I didn't understand. When God started introducing us to real kingdom life, you know what? That guy was right. That coach was right. That slandered that kid that got saved that night. We were serious about God. I was serious about souls. I believe I'd witness to a signpost. Now it takes a stick of dynamite for me, brother. What happened along the way? When God started bringing us into to a place of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of the supernatural and all the crazy things and all of that stuff that the Holy Ghost is manifesting and doing, I didn't understand any of that stuff. Sometimes God will, listen to this, sometimes God will offend your mind to test your heart. He will. Why do you think Jesus is throwing out there, eat my flesh and drink my blood? He was offending the mind, but he was testing the heart. And he came to Peter and he said, man, you going to leave also? Because these 5,000 folks done shucked out of here. Are you leaving too? Peter said, there ain't nowhere else to go, because he said, I don't get this, and I sure, they didn't understand that sermon better than anybody else. They didn't know what he was talking about, eat my flesh and drink my blood and all of that stuff. They didn't get all of that stuff. But you know what his great testimony was? When you talk, something inside me comes alive. And that's my thing on this whole kingdom is, when I get in his presence, something comes alive. Matt, when you get in his presence, something comes alive. When you got toe up down here Sunday morning after church, when you was leaving that booger trail that long on your car and all that stuff, it wasn't because you had a 12-pack. It was because kingdom activated something in there. You alone have words to life eternal. That's why God changed your life in this little old Mayberry place. Could you come in as a cute little old college student, got it going on. And you collided with God, carried you down a wonderful journey. Whew. Wonderful journey. Hooked us up with some crazy people along the way. I look at Heidi Baker and I'm like, man, you goopy's a football bat in the natural. But in the spiritual, she's one of my heroes. You ever watch Lou Engle? I don't just sit there and just rocks and, you know, and gets foaming at the mouth and gets tore up and all that stuff. It's what Bill Johnson said. Said him and Mike Bickle were the two most powerful men on the planet because of their prayer life. Because they touch heaven. And you know why? It's because their thoughts toward him and the kingdom are yes. God, I don't understand it. God, I don't know what you're going to do next. Lou Engle has no idea what, I mean, he may have some vision and dreams. He doesn't know how this is going to manifest April 9th out there in California. All he knows is he said, something is stirring in me so strong, I'm willing to sell my house to help facilitate it. How much do we believe in this thing? How much do we believe in each other? How much do we believe in what God's kingdom in us right now and He's wanting to do and His thoughts toward us? Amen. Turn on some music, Matt. Yes, Beth.
Yes. Talking about slandering people and, you know, just trying to see the best in people. You reap what you sow, because I know there's times, you know, there's been people in here that we haven't agreed with or, you know, whatever, but when you have God's heart towards them and you see what God sees, you know, there's going to come a time when you're going to need that from the same people, you know. So you, we're not all going to be right all the time.
I'd like to, if I can add, talking about slandering the man. We don't need to slander God as Christians in our community. You know, we need to go out. I think about this, when you talk about this, I think about when I'm going to buy something. I look it up online. I always read the reviews. But I will always focus on that negative review. It had 4.5 stars. And I'll scroll down to the bottom to find that one negative review. This product didn't work anything like it's supposed to. That one sticks in my mind more than the, maybe I guess it's a bad human nature thing, but that one worries me more than the other ones encourage me. So as we as Christians go out into this world and we interact with lost people, we interact with other church members, we interact with one another, we can do it right 200,000 times. But the world will see that time we do it wrong. You know, we gotta eliminate that as much as we can. You know, because that's what sticks with the world, is when we slander God. So when they pull up God's review, and we've done this negative review of how we've acted as Christians, how we've acted with one another. You know, as Christians, like, that's two guys are Christians. What's going on? Or you know, I thought this guy was like this, or whatever. You know, I think we need to be mindful of we're His hands and His feet. And if we're slandering Him through our actions and how we're, you know, interacting and carrying out His word, then that's putting that negative review on God. Is it true? Absolutely not. It's not true. You know, you read these reviews, it says it doesn't work and it's a perfect product. I mean, you've got to discard that. But as human beings, we focus on that negative review and that slander. For some reason, it sticks out to us more than the phrase, "Man, this is awesome," or whatever.
You're right.
We have to be mindful of that.
What does Jesus... What does He say in the Gospel of John, I think it is? He said, they will know you are My disciples by what? By the love that you have for one another. He didn't say by the fact you're going to cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick, and all that. He said, they're going to know you're My disciples by the love that you have one for another. That I'm not going to slander Him. I'm going to be, even if He's screwing up, I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to view Him the way God views Him and all of that. Amen. Amen. All right. We